patrols going out during the day and at night?
There were patrols going out, mainly early evening, if I remember. I was never on one, fortunately. I don't know how I would have took that, but anyway, I was prepared to stay where I was. And they went out and came back with bits of information where the Germans were, where they were situated, etc., you know. And we were able to strengthen our positions because of this. And, you know, we were watching our back as well as the side and the front in that particular area because we were in a vulnerable place, that Pimpernel. I can remember at least three or four patrols going out, and one incident, I remember them saying that they'd passed the Germans. Bit of a hairy scary. They hadn't seen each other. These are the funny things that happen, you know. And they didn't realise that they were coming back, that hey, they were Germans, you know. funny things, but watching each other.
When an enemy attacks or counter attacks, do you see him coming or do you hear him coming?
Well, in our case, we saw them coming up as we were on the hilltop, and you could see them working their way up, you know, taking cover and whatnot, and we were taking pot shots at them coming up. We were firing down onto them in my position, you know, where Jack and I were.
Were you back with your brain at this point?
No, we hadn't got the brain at that. You know, we were in the forward position. We had it with our rifles, and the brain was back on the Pimpernel with the lads. But the day when these crowd came over, when Jack and I were back behind the Pimpernel, and this attack came at us, and we were totally taken by surprise. The blokes in the forward observation post hadn't seen them, or whether they were asleep or what, but they got right onto the top of the hill, and I remember one chap, he went berserk, you know, they were shouting him to cease fire, but he grabbed the machine, the Bren gun, actually, and I don't know whether he actually had it at that time. I understand that he'd only just got word that his brother had been killed somewhere on another front in a letter that morning, and you can imagine the state he was in. And then he saw these Germans, and he just went berserk, and I think he killed a few of them. Bren gun, he just was firing it from the hip, as you might say. And of course, somebody got the mortars to fire up.
You can't remember this man's name?
No, I can't, to be honest.
Was he one of your section?
He was one of the platoon, 35 of you, you know, in the platoon, and he knew the immediate ones round you, as it were. A lad from Sunderland was responsible for firing the mortars up, and he got a military medal for it. Again, I can't for the life of me think of his name. I've looked through our names, but he wasn't killed or anything, so they're not there, you know. Remembering names, and I don't know.
Do you know whether you're hitting what you're aiming at in an attack, or are you maybe just firing in the direction of the enemy?
Well, you try and hit, you know, and whether you actually hit is another thing, but I think there's a lot of misses, quite honestly, and it's rather strange, as some people have heard never fired a bullet. They were in a situation like that, never fired a bullet. It's very, very strange to realise, you know, because, I mean, you were in a situation, you had to hold fire until the corporal or sergeant or whatever told you, unless you were, you know, free firing. But by and large, you waited till you were told to fire, and it's a funny situation.
Was that because they froze or they just didn't have a target?
Well, they were waiting to be told, you know, to fire, you know, take up firing positions, etc. Or fire at will, you know. If you fire at will, well, fair enough, they're just firing, bang, bang. Keep the heads down, sort of thing.
Have you turned to be fighting? What's happening in this intense situation, intensely dangerous situation?
Well, you know, direction. Discipline and training came in, you know.
And afterwards, what are the immediate feelings afterwards?
It's strange to say, really. Actually, usually after there's been an action like that, you're busy getting reorganized. So again, you're not allowed time to really think. It's maybe later, much later, you're thinking, oh, that happened, this happened, the other happened. So it's very, very difficult to say what's your reaction. I think everybody's different, actually. Some didn't bother. It's very, very strange. Yes.
Have any stories of any particular man or officer during these days of fighting?
Well, little funny incident there when we're on this pimple, you know, for instance, we were sort of stood down and we were brooming up and, we had a fire going with a biscuit tin, empty biscuit tin, with the water in, boiling away, and the ration, the tea and sugar ration you got there, well, it was in a mixture of powder, and you put a few spoonfuls into the water and let it boil up, that made you tea. And we were just getting to that stage, and this guy up in the hospital, the sniper, put a bullet right through the tin. And we laughed because the water ran out the tin to put a fire out. And somebody said, right, we've got to get this buggy, So, you had your little lighter moments still going on when that was on,
Did they scream at you as they're coming up
towards
you? Is there a lot of shouting?
Some of them do. Some of them, most of the time, it's quiet, They creep up and they're just there. They're just as much frightened as you are, I think, actually. When you get hand to hand, it's a little bit different. But
you didn't get the hand to hand in this situation.
But nearly on that pimpernel, that was it. We were in the hole, and when this guy jumped up firing with his Bren gun, we were able to get out the hole and take part in the firing as well, get covered properly. Horrendous situation on all this crowd. And as I say, they reckon there was about 100 dead on the top of that hill, on the forward side of it. The smell was horrible after a couple of days because nobody went out to shift them. You couldn't. You were on the hilltop, and the smell from bodies was...
it's a very distinctive smell.
Oh, it was terrible, yes. Yes, dead Germans were...
Your own losses, men who were being hit beside you and close to you, were seeing much of that?
There was... sort of one or two like that, over the period, and sort of helped to get them, dress the wounds and get them back out of the place, But as I say, the first aid was dealt with them most of the time. We were too busy keeping the front clear, watching to the front.
Over that period, which was several days, as you say, were men getting near to that breaking point, and you're under shelling, mortars.
Everyone by, I would think, I think it was somewhere maybe 15th, 16th of September, how long we'd been there, 6 or 7 days, 8 days, everybody was getting to the point, you hadn't had much sleep, I remember being on the top of the hill one night, and we were supposed to be stood down asleep, and you sort of dozing, and you woke up, and there's, you thought it was a German in front of you, along at the end, and could well have been a patrol scouting around our area, nightmare sort of thing. But absolutely shattered for sleep, so much so that when they brought us off to go along to the far end of Salerno for a rest, we marched so far and stopped on the road, and I just went dead in the gutter. We
Well, you woke up and
you're fighting. What the devil's that, you know? We're in such a state of, you've been there 6, 7, 8 days without any proper sleep at all. Or, I mean, not getting proper food either, really. You were getting snacks and the best you could, you know.
They were getting stuff up to you.
Nearly every night there was a ration platoon went down, a ration fatigue went down. As I say, I went down with it one night. I don't know why I didn't go down other nights. Maybe thought I was more responding to the keep the front line clear sort of thing, you know. I don't know. But I was saying, why can't I go down on the ration?
They went down,
took all the water, come and collect all the water bottles and went away down at night, you know, and the ration party, as it was called.
Were the warm meals that were coming up to you?
No, warm meals. What we were getting there would be the box, the compo box, as it was called, and there was rations in for 14 men for 2 days, I think, if I remember right. It's a bit back now.
What was in that?
There would be a tin of bacon, you know. That was very nice, actually. A round tin with bacon, which was cooked, but if possible, you had to sort of build a fire and you could stick it on and it would warm it up. There was soya sausages in. Again, you know, you got used to them. Corned beef, biscuits, which weren't as hard as the other ones. And I remember there used to be the cigarettes, you know, 50 tin of cigarettes to share. Or 250 tins, if I remember right, because it was for 14 men, that's right. And a box of sweets.
No alcohol?
Oh, no alcohol, no, nothing like that.
You weren't issued with rum or anything like that?
At that stage, no. I can only remember twice in the period I was in Italy getting rum, which we'll mention later on. But no, I never got any alcohol, unless there was any in the vicinity where you were. You know, some of these houses, they got in and there was bottles of wine, and obviously there was a swig of wine, like, you know, but it didn't happen very often.
Have you any other memories of being on this temple and Hospital Hill?
Well, it was all recurring, you know, this shelling and mortaring and whatnot, and
we had nearly driven off
two or three times and fought our way back up again, you know. We lost quite a few lads wounded and a few killed and so on. I think at that point, I think there was something about 5 or 6 blokes left in our platoon at one stage where we come off there. Of
the original platoon,
we had a few reinforcements. Of the originals that went in, we were down to about 5 or 6 out of 30-odd blokes, you know.
So it lets you see how many were wounded and
dead and so on, you know.
And the same for many of you, because there being such large drafts coming in after Sedgemon, that for many of you, it was the first action.
First action, yes, it was for us. First time we'd seen any angry men, as you might say. And a lot of us were very young. I mean, I wasn't 20 at that stage. I wasn't 20.
We'd been reinforced,
the battalion had, from the Welsh regiment, and we had one of them as our came as our sergeant major, May, they call him, M-A-Y. He eventually got the Silver Star from the Americans, you know. I don't know why, but I know he got it, you know. I heard later on he got the Silver Star. He was quite a good bloke.
Was this after this action?
This was before we went to Sudan, the Welsh regiment joined us. So there was quite a few Welsh regiment with us, you know. This is how you can't remember all the names, because of them. There were a mixed crowd, and quite honestly, there were some of them a miserable crowd. All they could get was roll on the end of the war, you know, instead of getting on with it, you know, everything. When you told them to get up and move, you know, cursing and blinding, roll on the end of the war, that, you know, made life miserable for everybody.
They weren't like as we were, northerners, you know, put it that way.
They found this with many of the Welshmen.
Many of the Welshmen.
That way. Yes, most of them, I would say. Morning lot.
So the end of X days, 15th of December, I think you mentioned, you were pulled out, were you?
I'm trying to think, it's about the 15th, when that nasty battle was on, about the 15th, and the Duffy got the MC and whatnot.
So I think it was about the 19th when we got relieved,
if I can remember right.
I've been looking through my bits of bumps and whatnot. I think we were relieved by the guards. We went back for 48 hours rest at Vietri.
The next move was to this
Vietri, yes. Defile, that's right, yes.
What was the situation then?
Well, we went back up a hill again. It was our job to go up round this hill, and a funny incident happened there, it'll make you laugh. We went up there, and my anyway, I had the rifle, and my rifle was dirty, you know, climbing around, going around the hill and so on. We'd expected tremendous opposition there, actually, and we lay up for 2 or 3 hours in the dark of the night. We got there somewhere about 3 o'clock in the morning and waited to go around the hill. And eventually we went around the hill, and my rifle got dirty. We were going round the road, as it were, that footpath, and had my rifle all the bits cleaning it. Here's a jerry coming down, a jerry officer. What do, you know? Stick him up with a rifle with no bolt in. And my colleague was doing his and all. Learned a lesson there, never both to be doing it together. But he gave up, he says, I've had enough, you know, and he put his hands up and he handed his German Luger over. And I said, oh, great, we've got a Luger, you know, Jack and I, and we got a hold of him. And one of the other chaps took him back to the base as a prisoner. And then he started making a noise. He wanted his gun, you know, his Luger back. And somebody wouldn't know where it was. Well, Ellison and Clatworthy had his gun. The word come up,
they wanted to see us, you know. And we had handed over, you know. I don't know what we thought we were going to do with it, but we'd spoils of war, we'd got a Luger. And he made such a song and a dance, this officer. And I mean, he still didn't get it back, like, but somebody else won it. But that was a little funny incident up that hill. And
he
was giving himself up. He was from the top, and I think he'd seen the situation, and he wasn't going to get killed, so he came down and gave himself up. But it was a funny situation. He was sitting there cleaning your rifle, sort of on a bit of a respite before we moved round again. And he came down to meet us. And and we got up there, and A Company, if I remember right, were down in the valley to our left with Sherlock, and we went down there to get some water or rations or something like that. And I remember meeting he was a lieutenant then, Sherlock, he captain later, down there. And they were in a house, and he was out walking around, as he would be, you know. He's one of these blokes always out and about. And that's what we were after, and we were looking for, I think we were going down to try and get some rations or something. And he sent us back round to their HQ anyway, where they had tea and whatnot on, and we got a good meal and some tea before we went back up the hill again. And I think he ran into some bother later on and got his military cross round that area, if I remember right. Which was fortunate. We had just got back up the hill when all this noise started. And I think the jury had tried to come through and through. I don't know the exact position, but there was a battle, and he led the lads through and got a military cross for it, you know.
What was the terrain like that you were fighting?
It was mountainous there, very mountainous. It led on round, further round to the left, round to, the Malfi Coast and that area, you know, which was, we didn't go around there, like, but it was the Amalfi Coast, which eventually came round to Sorrento, and it's all mountains and, you know, high. But every time we looked out, there was another mountain to climb, you know, that was the situation out there. Until we got onto the Naples plain, it was just mountains after mountains. I mean, if you got up one, you thought, well, all right, we've got to go down the other side and up the next one, you know, and it went on.
With the Germans on top all the time.
Germans on the top all the time, firing down at us.
Do you recall the particular objective you had in the Vietnam area?
I think we had to, I think we just had to capture this Pimpernel, which was sort of looking down onto the, I don't know what they call that village, but where they were at. I think it was, I've got it here, Corpo di Carvo or something like that. Corpo di, and then CVA. I think that was the name of the place. And we had to occupy this pimple to the west of the village and, well, to protect them going through the valley. They were capturing this village, and it was, we were looking down on a road, you know, from high up on the mountain, as you might say. I'm saying a pimple, it was really a mountain. Looking down this valley, and there was a bridge in the village, as you could see, and it looked a very picturesque place. And then it came out through onto the Naples plains eventually, through that area. That's what we were trying to attain, you know, the opening to Naples plains.
And were you moving along tracks or roads or what to get to your...
No, we actually, our company was up on this hill, and it was just footpaths round, and a lot of trees, not big ones, a lot of shrub trees and whatnot. Down to the right, I remember there was a farmhouse, because we were there a couple of days, and some of the blokes got friendly with the people down to the right. They were giving them cigarettes and getting wine and this sort of, you know, the usual trading and whatnot. There was a family there. There was about four or five of them, I think, in the house. And we were there for two or three days, actually, on top of that mountain, as you might call it.
Had you to attack up the mountain to take it?
This was the intention, but there was nobody there really to attack. You know, it was defended, but when we eventually went, about 3 o'clock in the morning we were there when we arrived at this place. From our rest period, we got there, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 a.m, black dark, and we just had to sit on the roadside and wait for the time to go up the hill, waiting for daylight, and we didn't meet any opposition going up there. Now, I don't know what's the worst. You're expecting round every tree there's going to be somebody, you know, and you're watching your back and your front and everything, and the first thing is, well, right, rest. We hadn't reached the top, rest. And this officer came down, we took his luger off him, you know, funny things, but I think we did lose a couple of blokes up there, actually. I think we lost the Lance Corporal and just a bit hazy on that.
Your objective was, in effect, although you didn't find the enemy there, you were going into that attack without any artillery.
Without artillery? No, there's no artillery or anything there.
Was this Preston's idea?
Well, I believe so, you know. I mean, he was the brains. He came and saw us all at the rest area before we set off, and it was explained, you know, group what the object was. A and B company were going to be on our left, and it was our job to take this area, and which we did. But fortunately for us, there was nobody actually there. There was someone on the top, not many. And as we went up, they scattered down the other side. I commanding view of what was going on and whether they could see A and B company going in through the valley and we coming up that side, and maybe decided to get out. I don't know. Just we were fortunate in that situation to get away with it. There was a bit of later on a bit of flak came at us, you know, I mean, because they start shelling the area where we were. But I think that's where, I'm sure we lost a couple of blokes there.
Were the enemy laying mines or before they pulled off?
No, there was booby traps. We came across booby traps sometimes, well, like a tip wire in some cases. You had to be very careful on that point. Some of the houses that you were in, you know, they'd booby trap the flush toilet and this sort of thing. I mean, it was just general that happened all over. Somebody pulled a toilet string, and so you never did anything like that. You just left it until the engineers come and cleared it all off. But two or three places we met landmines, but you know, the lads were away in front prodding, and it just more or less looked than anything else. I think, well, that area, you know, you see there's something being happening, and we didn't encounter it quite a lot, actually. No.
Did you encounter any enemy tanks coming at you?
Well, we had some at the Salerno area for a period. As I say, we were instrumental in getting the Royal Artillery officer up, and he bombarded them, and we where is it? We're going along, and we were held down. They were right alongside us before we knew they were there, but they were put out of action. Actually, I'm just trying to reflect where that was. That was about that in that area where they were. We were more or less held down, but they got out of it.
How were you put out of action? Did you have anti-tank guns with you, or was it the artillery further back?
The artillery did it further back, and I'm just trying to think where the hell that was. They were right beside it, because the next thing I knew was we were walking along the road, and there was two or three tanks that had been blown off. Whether somebody had used the paint on them, I don't know. They may well have done, one of the other companies, but and they sort of split us, as it were, this roadway. I can't remember where that...
Moving up the mountain in this defile that we're talking about, did you move up in the old traditional First World War line of people going up, or did you use fire and movement, or what happened?
The way we went at first was, it was so steep, you couldn't do that. You had to go up the paths, as it were. So one man went forward and another man come through him, sort of thing, you know. And
covering each other
as well. As I say, if they'd have, this was the danger, if they'd have put themselves out and had, they mustn't have had a lot of troops up there. They could have fired down on us, you know. We were in a funny position. This was the nightmare of it, you know. You could have been blasted off the side of the mountain. But they didn't do it. I mean, they knew possibly that if they had, we would eventually get them. You know, they were trapped on the top of the mountain. But, no, it was just a matter of going up the path, you know, as you wind up and going out on a stroll, as it were. And people passing each other, clearing the section, and then the next fella going forward, and everybody coming up behind.